Hey friend, welcome back to Fig and Farm at Home. I am so delighted to have you here joining me in this conversation today that I'm having with Kimberly Armstrong. She is the founder and lead designer at Armstrong Design Collective, currently located in Nashville, and she's bringing her unique design expertise to each space that she creates. She's known for creating cozy, inviting, and practical spaces to live organized by design. In our conversation today, we talk a lot about seeing the big picture, understanding how your home needs to function for you, and then working backwards in order to create it through organization. I hope you are inspired today to take action in your home to create spaces that function for you and your family well. By being mindful of the things that you bring into your home, Kimberly is calling it conscious consumerism. And we are talking all about it in today's show. Enjoy. We grew up with the phrase, home is where the heart is. But our culture has shifted, and now the message is, home should be Pinterest perfect. I'm calling BS on that message. Home, it's not about the stuff, it's about the story. And whether you know it or not, your home is a reflection of you and is already saying something. So what is it that you want it to say? Hey, I'm Danny, a former first grade teacher turned home decorator. Going from a dual income to a single income so I could stay home with my babies meant budget. Like ramen eating, Goodwill shopping budget. And I learned a few things along the way. Like how to bring big style to your home without breaking the bank. And I'm sharing it all with you. Tips, tricks, decor, and design advice so you can learn to tell your story with your style. Where you can start living free from the Pinterest perfect trap and start living a life of intention. Welcome to Fig and Farm at Home, where we design happy living and where it doesn't have to be perfect to be beautiful. Hello, Kimberly. Welcome to Fig and Farm at Home.
Hi, Danny. Thanks for having me. This is exciting.
Oh, I'm so glad you're here. And I am so excited. I introduced you in my intro, so my mamas know who you are. But tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do and who you serve.
Sure. My name's Kimberly Armstrong, and I currently live in Nashville, Tennessee. I've been here about 5 years. And previous to that, I was living in mostly South Florida, the Palm Beach area, and a little bit in New York. I was like a little bit back and forth. And I just decided that's enough of that after almost 20 years. And I decided to land in Nashville because there's so much change and opportunity happening here. One of the things that I discovered is that maybe people moving to the city from other parts of the country weren't quite sure how to live small, like how to live in smaller spaces.
Yeah.
And so that's when it dawned on me, and I'm like, this is how I have to make some changes in my design process, because, you know, the houses in Palm Beach are different. The spaces in New York, so small, but I think I have this great combination of both to help people live a big life in a small space.
Oh, fantastic.
So that's what I focus on. Yeah.
And even if you have a bigger space, like some of my neighbors who have a bigger space than I do, I imagine, you know, with the kind of way our culture is shifting, still wanting to live a little smaller. So I am so excited to chat with you about your specialty, which is conscious consumerism.
Yes. But
what is that? Because
what is it?
Tell us all about it.
Well, and so you have a big house, right?
Yeah.
But does it mean that you have to fill it every nook and cranny and wall and everything and stuff the cabinets so that, you know, you can't even get into them? Conscious consuming is, you know, making sure that what you're purchasing is what you need and what you want a little bit too. I mean, you want to have a space that's aesthetically pleasing and comforting to you, and that's great, but it doesn't mean that you have to have a wall of photo frames, you know, unless we want. But I think that there's a way in which to design that you're keeping in mind that you're being responsible for what you're purchasing.
Right.
Quick story. I was in design school in my later years. I was almost, I guess, 30, my late 30s, which was really hard because going to design school and listening to people who are younger than you was really challenging. But that's when I went to interior design school, and I had to think about a lot of things because the world was changing and we were becoming conscious about what we were purchasing. This is like 2009, 2010.
Yeah.
And it really just made me think a lot about that. And in the middle of that, I had a big move personally. It was only me and two dogs.
Okay.
And there's this giant truck outside my house where I'm moving into a smaller space. And I just thought, that's too much stuff for one person to have. It's just not even being conscious, you know, like there's stuff in there that I don't need. I know it. And so that's kind of when I started embarking on the whole idea of living lean and keeping the things that you love and that make your house a home, but also to get rid of the things that you really just don't need and you've bought for whatever reason, or they've accumulated for whatever reason.
Right. Yeah. Now, really quickly, because I love that. And I feel like in a very similar journey. You know, every time I have three boys and they're into all the sports, and my husband is into all the things. And I look around and I'm so inundated by stuff. Stuff that I made a decision on bringing into the home, or even things, Kimberly, where I look around and I think, where on earth did that come from?
Sure. And with children, it's hard. I call it the avalanche of life because it just kind of happens, right? All this stuff. So there's where becoming organized in any size space is really important. There should, you know, so if you're purchasing it, being conscious not only of do I need it, what's the cost, where's it going to live? How is this going to be in my house, in my space, in my car, in my garage, wherever it is? I mean, that's the idea of rather than just going, just buying, 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 you go, let me take a minute, take a breath. Does this work? Does it, can I afford it? Where is it going to live? All of those things is part of that, my thought process anyways.
Yeah, and one of the things I want to add to that is one of the questions I ask myself when I'm in a really good frame of mind. This doesn't always happen. Is that thing that I'm bringing into my house adding value or helping me in any way?
Yes. I think we're back to, you know, the organization and does it serve a purpose? How is it going to move you forward? All of those things. Now, with children, it's really hard because there's soccer equipment or football equipment or whatever there is. But back to organizing and thinking that through, a garage is a great space for that. You know, I'm a huge proponent of building out the garage, the kitchen pantry if possible, the master closet. I mean, I have a client right now that I'm working with. There's the first homeowners, first buyers. They didn't even think about that. I mean, they had no idea.
Tell me what you mean by building out.
I mean, having a professional company come in, or you know, like California Closets or Closets by Design or anything like that, they will do the garage as well. So you already know you're building this out, this garage space out. So there's a place when you bring all of those water bottles in that you can store them there. The extra toilet paper, the extra paper towel, put them up on a higher cabinet so it's out of your daily life, but they're there when you need them. Maybe make cubbies or lockers for that soccer equipment or the football or the cheerleading pom-poms or whatever it may be, you know, that everybody needs. And they're going to have that. And they're going to have summer things, you know, winter things. I just think that building the garage out for a family is super important, you know, and that's kind of like a small space, big life scenario. This is the small space that's going to make my life easier if these things live here. It's kind of that simple.
Okay, let's stop there for one second because I want to think about those mamas who are listening who might think, "Oh, that's wonderful, Kimberly and Danny, because you probably have all the money to make that happen." What if I was transferring that idea to my own home and trying to build out some of those things, some of those systems in place, organizational systems in place? Where do I start? I am so lost. And we're
Sure, there's
sitting in the
room.
garage. We're looking at our garage and thinking, "Oh, crud." What would you tell that mom? Where should she start?
Well, every project is different. Everyone's need is different. So I am a huge proponent of making piles. And I'm saying back the cars out of the garage, as big or small as it is, and make the piles. Purge at first. There's probably some stuff that's going to go. I would also think about things that are in the home that are not being stored properly and how you can bring them into the garage. So, in other words, I'm not going to have this whole thing built out with cabinets and nooks and drawers. But this is what I need. I need places for lacrosse sticks. I guess that's what they call them. And there will be hooks at Home Depot. There will be solutions at the container store that are individual. Not a big fan of hooks that are all together like this. Get a hook, get a hook, get a hook. Space it out. If you're hanging something, give it the proper space. And this will take a minute, but any time you put towards this will be so much well served when you could just pop it up there and you don't have to think about it anymore.
Absolutely.
There are certain kinds of shelves that you could get. I think in a garage, think high. If you just were to put shelves on the top, at the top, tip top, maybe have a high ladder, that's where you can store your paper towels and your dishes and kitchen appliances that you don't use except for the holiday. You know, if you don't use an air fryer all the time, put it up there. Although I use mine all the time, so that's not a good excuse. But you know what I mean. The things that you don't use all the time, line it with shelves. You can get those at Home Depot too, and get the little installation done, and you'll love it for the future.
Yeah, I love that because you just mentioned something that I think is so key when you're living in a small space or trying to organize is think tall, go high, because we like to design in our sight line or lower, I've noticed. There's a lot of vertical space. I mean, I'm looking at a 9 foot ceiling here above me, and that's a lot of space going up.
And having lived in New York City and helped a lot of families there, I mean, that's just key. You have no other choice. You have to go up. I mean, and we did in many ways. It was fun.
Oh goodness. Well, and it sounded like you were actually talking about my garage because we don't have a mud room, but we have built lockers, four lockers, with shoe storage underneath, and up on top is things like paper towels and things we don't necessarily have access to every once in a while. And is a cupboard for those items you're talking about. The Uni kitchen oven, we have one, and my husband roasts his own coffee, so we have a coffee roaster, but that's in the works. It is all in the works.
Well, and you know, I think that you can probably get pegboard. I'm sure you can get pegboard even at the Home Depots and Lowe's of the world. And you can create your own pegs so that things change or the season changes. Those are great places for rakes or you know anything you might use outside. You can even hang bikes on there. They have bike holders, and that's another thing too, especially in a garage. Try to get stuff off the ground because it just feels more organized, and you can clean a lot easier too.
Exactly. You know what I hang on my pegboard are my kiddos' Nerf guns. And we had a huge wagon that was full of Nerf guns, and that takes up real estate on the floor. And I built a pegboard system so that they could hang them on there. Do they land on the floor? Sure, they do sometimes, but they know there's a home here and we go and put them away. So
Well,
fantastic.
that's one thing my clients and I talked about a lot in New York too, is I would always try to encourage them to hang their clothes lower, the children's clothes lower. It's really young. So A, they can see them and they can see what it looks like for you to take them off. And that's where it goes. And this is the hamper and this is where it goes. Because all of those little things that they can reach, and even the Nerf guns, if they know where there's a place for it to go, it's all a learning experience. It's going to teach them and it's going to give them the power to do it themselves, which is really rewarding for them too.
Yes, and they're going to learn from it, which is fantastic. Okay, let's go back to this idea of conscious consuming. And let's say we are talking to a new mom, or not a new mom, but a mom who is kind of new to this idea. She's inundated with her stuff and she's thinking, okay, I think I want to start making changes. And we already mentioned purging, and I talk about decluttering on the show too. Let's say we've done that. We've gone through the first step, we've gotten rid of some things, but do you have any simple tips for her when it's time, or things that she can ask herself, checklists she can run through, anything that will help her to keep the idea? You know, she goes once to Target, she's asking those questions you mentioned, the do I need it, how's it going to serve me, all of those things, but how does she do it over and over and over and make it become part of her lifestyle rather than just a one-time thing?
I had a client one time say to me, we were probably, you know, a few months into this project. She had a big project, but she finally said, "You know, I feel like I'm almost organized." And I just paused and I said, "But the key to staying organized is to never feel that way. Like you've got to say, this is the way I make choices now. This is the way we live now. And it's a big shift. It
Right.
really is. Because you're making changes on how you think all day long, really, honestly.
Right.
Because you put things away differently. You might look at something differently. You might think this doesn't work anymore. This desk in the kitchen that's full of just papers and stuff and stuff. How can I rework this space so that it serves our family better,
Yeah.
serves me better? And the solutions for that are endless. It depends upon what you need and how you want to use that space. But I think that what my suggestion would be is that, A, if something like that is bothering you, really break it down. Schedule 3 hours on Saturday and say, everybody leave me alone. Make sure everybody's got something to do, you know? And like, I really have to focus on this and I have to clean it out. I have to decide what I want this to, how I want this to serve me. What do I need to build that out? Do I need cubbies? Do I need to go to, the container store? Do I need to get hooks? I mean, you can get hooks now that stick onto anything that
Yeah.
will help you. I love them. They're magic. So, and you don't have to worry about the wall. You can change them later. There's all of these things. But I always encourage clients to, if they're feeling frustrated, if they feel like the house is overwhelming them, start in one space, start in one little cubby, start in one little room, or whatever it is, and wrap that up and
Yeah.
get that functioning.
Yes.
And then you're going to get the fever, and then
Yes.
you're going to want the rest of your house to work like that. And it's hard because life is happening and there are things happening all the time, but you have to give some priority to it in
Right.
order for it to make sense continually, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. And I think you nailed it. This is exactly how I do my design process with people too. And that is recognize the problem, first of all, and then we need to make a deliberate decision to fix it, to remediate it. It's almost like you have to look at the big picture to see what I want the end goal to be, and then work backwards from there to reverse
Yeah,
engineer.
in pockets, right? Yeah, in areas like, yes, I want this whole house to be organized and function fantastically. Well, and you know, right? You might get 92% there, and that's perfect.
Yeah.
But in order to get there, it's like how to eat an elephant one bite at a time, that in
Right.
one room at a time, really.
And you're right. It's like a domino effect. When you get that junk drawer in order, wow, that feels so good. And you feel empowered in order to do the next thing.
My boyfriend gets so mad at me because we can't call it a junk drawer here. We call it the miscellaneous drawer. He's calling it that now.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's true. 'Cause my junk drawer, it doesn't look junky. It
Isn't it
looks
funny? Yeah.
well, okay. What is in
Miscellaneous stuff.
your miscellaneous drawer?
Okay, mine is such a disaster right now because we've just moved from another place into one place. And honestly, I was looking for something this morning and I just, okay, this is ridiculous. I couldn't find it. There's everything in there right now. But normally I keep, some extra change. I don't even know why we do that anymore. It needs a place to land, I suppose. I keep tape in there, batteries in there, scissors, some tape, maybe packing tape. I used to keep stamps, but I don't send anything anymore. Just the things that help move either an office or a kitchen forward, I think, because it
Yes.
always usually lands in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I
That's
mean, for family, who knows? If extra crayons, who, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, the Cheetos, the extra
Yeah, the random things. Well, but I and again, that makes, that helps to make sense for everybody's different and everybody's drawer is going to be different. But as long as it's organized, you can see it and grab it and go. That's, I'm
Exactly.
always like, I got to grab it and go. I'm always on the run. I'm always doing stuff. And that's why being organized, I believe, really helps move the day along quicker.
Yeah. For sure. So, do you find that there are certain areas in your home that are, and of course, everyone's different, but that should be or could be higher priority in terms of let's organize this first because this is going to get your day off to a really great start?
Oh, yeah, the kitchen.
Okay. Tell us about that.
100%. 100% the kitchen. I believe that if you think about how your kitchen works, in design school, they were like, oh, you have to have the V with the refrigerator here and the stove here and this, that. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's lovely. But that doesn't always happen, right? And so I don't know if I'm getting my dishes out of the dishwasher, if it needs to just be right there. Maybe I have to take a couple steps because it makes more sense in my kitchen and my family to have the plates closer where the kids can make the table. However this works, you have to think about how this kitchen's going to work and from the beginning. And it's a big job if you already moved into it. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
But again, I'm a huge proponent of taking over a dining room table and pulling everything out.
Yeah.
Because when you start with a blank space, you can start to make better space for the things you have to store. For
Right.
instance, if it is the dishes and I can use one of those stackables here and put the bowls underneath. Or I can use one of those things that hangs down. I don't know what you call those, but I put my bowls in there. Things that, and I'm short, so I can't reach these things. I have to ha build them out that way. I
Yeah.
do that with glasses. I do that with food. All of those little shortcuts that you can do in the kitchen to get it organized.
Based on the functionality of what you need, what you and your family need. So it all comes back to taking that assessment, doesn't it? Of
Right.
what do I need
Yeah.
to,
Yeah.
this system isn't working here. How do
And
I,
what do I use? Do
yeah.
I don't use this whatever chopper thing.
Yeah.
Maybe I use it at the holidays and it's going out in the garage.
Yeah.
Like this is the moment where you go, yeah, I know it's supposed to live in the kitchen, but it's not going to live in the kitchen.
Right.
It doesn't need to. It doesn't need to.
Right.
And especially on the counters. Counters is my favorite part to
Oh,
clear the deck.
me too. My children, not so much. So tell us more about that.
Well, it's a little easy because I don't have children. I have all this advice, but I don't have children. But I still work with my families too. It's the one thing that's really hard to get rid of is the toaster oven.
Yeah.
Nobody will ever part with the toaster oven, and I get it. Although there is a new toaster now that sits upright,
Okay.
and it's for toaster, but it leans over and it's for grilled cheese.
Oh, interesting. Like it articulates.
Yeah, you just set it up to toast, right? And then when you make a grilled cheese, but I haven't seen it, I haven't used it, I can't say how it works, but it looks genius.
Yeah.
And so, there are things though that you are going to use. Like I have a coffee machine out because I use it every day. The air fryer, we use it a lot, maybe two, maybe three times a week. And I pull it in and put it out every time. I
Yeah.
just do. It has its little space. I don't want to see it. I don't want to smell it. I don't want any of that stuff going on in my kitchen. In my kitchen, I want to cook.
Yeah.
And I don't have a small, I don't have a large kitchen. It's not super small, but the counter space is a little tight. So
Right.
for me, I'd rather have the option to create, to make the dinner, whatever that looks like, on a clean, open space. I have, not much stuff. I have a piece of artwork in there. I have some things that help me. I like the little draining system. I know that all the moms use for bottles and things, the one that looks like little grass. I
Yeah.
have a tiny skinny one and I use that every morning for, I cut lemons for lemon water and I put my cutter and my knife on there, or my cup or something like that. So those tiny little things help out. But then I put it away when I'm not using it.
Yeah.
And it's a really quick thing. If it has a place to go,
Right.
it's not that hard to put it away.
Right. Exactly. And it really is a matter of evaluating, like, for example, let's talk about the toaster. I take out my toaster. I use it pretty much every day, but it sits in the cupboard. I don't want it on my counter either. And I've made a deliberate choice to allow upfront real estate in my cupboard to belong to the toaster. And
Right.
things that are I don't use very often, you're right, they need to go somewhere else or get rid of them if I haven't used them.
The tip-top shelf or above the refrigerator or whatever those are, where whatever that is. Even though it's not organized, like all the appliances are here and all of this are here. If there are platters and things that you only use a couple times a year, put them up top or put them in the garage.
Right.
So I think that there's a lot of things that you can think of organizing it that way. But everybody wakes up in the morning and one of the first places they'll head, besides the potty, is to the kitchen,
Yeah.
right? Everybody goes to the kitchen. What are you doing in the kitchen? What are you doing in the kitchen?
Yeah.
Are you making your coffee? Are you getting breakfast ready for the kids? Are you running out the door, like grabbing and go and you got to get out the door?
Making
The
lunches for the
refrigerator is, what's that?
Kiddos. Yeah.
Yeah. Getting that ready or just grabbing and going. And so organizing your refrigerator, I must say, my friends came for a holiday and my friend said, this is it. I have to take a picture of your refrigerator. It's ridiculous. The drinks are all up here and we've got space for snacks and we've got everything. And there's so many tools now that you can use to make that so efficient. I just saw it must be a drawer that's above the freezer and then the refrigerator's on the top. You
Yeah.
pulled out the drawer and they had like a whole salad bar in there. And I was like, oh. That's for me. That makes sense for me. But
Yes.
for kiddos, if it's all in bins, if it's cheese strings, or if it's apples, or if it's grapes, even, so they can grab them and go all
Yeah.
in those bins so they can get it easily, and they have power to do it themselves, which is great.
Yeah. And a little less burden on the mom too to go get the snack, because if they know where they're going in the pantry or where they're going in the fridge,
Yep.
it empowers them and it gives mom a little break. I love this. Really, I think we are kindred sisters. I do.
Love it. Well, I mean, and I think there's a lot of people thinking this way now too. This isn't new. You know what I mean? Like, we're starting to go, okay, listen, we don't need all of this stuff to make us move forward. And there's things I need in my life to make my life smoother and my family's life smoother to move forward like that.
Right.
And you can do it in a pretty way. And that's kind of where design comes in. And I was talking about the kitchen and how important it is. I just want to tell you one thing before we move on. I love a breakfast cabinet,
Okay.
which goes against all the ideas of like keeping everything together,
Right.
right? Foods over here, the dishes are over here, appliances are there. If your family knows, maybe it's a drawer, maybe it's a breakfast drawer,
Yeah.
and they know that they can go there and get the cereal and the cereal spoons and the cereal bowls, like maybe they're separate or whatever kinds of bowls, or there's granola bars or whatever it is in that cabinet that they can grab in that, or that drawer, or that you can. You put your coffee in there. And so you keep everything contained in this little spot. You aren't moving all around. They're not moving all around. It kind of stops with traffic, and it's where everybody heads. It's where everybody knows what's going on in there. It's kind of a fun thing that I've found that families really have used well.
Yeah, that's brilliant. I mean, I've done that kind of naturally in my own pantry. We don't have a space for a whole drawer or a whole cabinet, but we do have a shelf. And so that has become my thing. But you know, a lot of times I think we in general think of like a wine storage system or like a bar, or we think
Yeah.
historically coffee station. But I love this idea of a breakfast station, because that appeals to everyone in the family.
Sure.
That
And
is.
I had a small family of just three. This is one little boy. And they just had a coffee maker underneath there. He had his two cereals. They had their coffee. They had the mugs and the bowls, and that's all they needed. It
Yeah.
wasn't a big shebang. It wasn't a big production. It was actually the small cabinet between the stove and the refrigerator. I mean, that's all that they needed. So
Yeah.
everybody's going to be different.
Right. Based on the needs of the family. I love it. Hey friend, I see you over there standing in the pillow aisle at HomeGoods wondering which pillow to choose in a sea of pillows and thinking, why on earth are there so many choices? And you, friend, I see you scrolling on Pinterest gathering inspiration from all of the beautiful pictures. But the minute you get off the computer, you think, now what? I haven't the foggiest idea where to start. I want to invite you to a free 2-day live event where I teach you the tools for unlocking the overwhelm, the indecision, and the confusion when it comes to decorating your home. If you've been wanting a little refresh in your home decorating and you keep wondering where to start, this friend is where to start. In this 2-day event, I'm taking you back to the basics so you can learn to identify your design style. It is that important. Because, friend, once you know that, you are able to make confident decisions without the overwhelm. And the best part, you stop wasting time and money. So join me March 26th and March 27th at 9 a.m. Pacific time. And if you can't make it live, don't worry. If you register for the event, I'll send you the replay so you can watch later. You can register at bit.ly/figandfarmbootcamp. I'll see you there. So tell us, so you know, we're talking about conscious consuming, but this also goes back to conscious decision making. I mean, really understanding what you need in your family in order to make the decisions to have your home function better for you.
Yep, it
And I
really
love
does.
that. And even if, you know, going back to the kitchen, and we see that counter space, that's a big real estate in your kitchen. And
Yep.
I know what happens when I see it cluttered. I know what happens for me. It's a very visceral reaction, and I don't like it. My body feels something. What happens to your clients, or can you talk to this point about the way organizing makes us feel? I mean, the mental bit, the feeling bit. Why is it so important? Why should we, whether we get the box to organize or we get the cabinet to organize or we hire the designer, why should we? Why does it matter? Why does organizing matter?
Yeah, I think in the end, when you get past the challenge of the big projects, which is what they are, once you start living that life, you feel lighter. You make, easier decisions where we're talking about this. It just becomes natural. And I often tell my clients, you may not see that pile over there of whatever that is every day because you've stopped seeing it, but your mind sees it and you pick up on it, and it's an extra weight on you and your body. And that's just how it is. It has a presence, and you pick up on that. And if it's not orderly, it's just how it is. You're not going to be at peace. There's peace in organization. There really is. And it's a lot of work, but it's worth the work.
It's worth the work. So what happens when we're there and we've decided, okay, I'm all in, Kimberly, I'm loving this. I'm gonna start small. I'm going to make really important, deliberate decisions in what I bring in, what I send out. I'm there. How do you Are there any tips or things that you can share that would help them maintain those habits of living? I imagine some of it's going to feel and feed off of itself, like, oh, I
It
love this.
does.
It'd be easier. But
Yeah.
anything else that might come up that you've noticed?
Well, I think maybe it might be helpful to partner with somebody in this journey, whether it be a child that you want to help teach this journey to as well, or a best friend or a neighbor or something, and kind of keep you both on tabs with it, and also kind of have fun with it. If it's her turn and she's getting a little low, you can pop over there and go, we're gonna knock out this drawer, just one drawer at a time. We're gonna knock this out, and maybe it will help. But I really do feel like once you get the fever, I've seen it time and time again with people who never really even gave it a second thought. Like, it's just how it is. That's how I grew up. It's what we do. It's what we know. I'm like, if you just take a second and you work it through just a little bit, I think that you'll get the fever, like I said, and it will help you stay motivated for it. And it also changes things up too. You might want to look at it and say, I think I'm ready to refresh this room design-wise, which is what I'm really focusing on as of recent. Small space, big life in downtown Nashville. You don't need a ton of furniture. You need the right furniture. You need the right things. And so even if you are all organized now and you feel like you might go, this just needs a refresh. And so you do a color change, or you do a paint change, or you do something fun that makes your house even more a cozy home.
I love it. Do you have any favorite projects that you've been working on in your, say your phrase again, small space, big life?
Yes, small space, big life.
Tell us your favorite project.
I do. I am helping this young couple, like I said, and they don't have a huge home. It's not a ginormous home, but it's a really nice first home. They'll end up building out the basement later, because they're making priorities right now. Getting in the house, the first and second floor where they live, is great. And I don't think of this as a small space next to super small space, but it's small. Like, we've got to get a family of three that's probably going to be a family of four or five, started in this space. So every little pocket is kind of cool. We've decided to not make the dining room a dining room. It's right off the kitchen, and the living room, it's kind of that open floor plan. And the little guy is just turned one, so he's a little mobile, and most of the activity will be on that floor. And so the dining room is going to be given to him. Going to have his little play table. We've built out just some shelves and some the bookshelves so you can put the baskets in and everything. And we did it very inexpensively. We decided to go with floor, which is a floor tile that you can make your own design with. And so we did something that looks like a racetrack, but it also is aesthetically pleasing. And that way, if he gets with it and it gets messy, or there's crayons or there's paint or whatever, you just remove a tile and you put it back in there. So I love that idea because it encourages him to be creative and have his little pocket of freedom. But mom can watch him, he's safe, and that's my small space little program right now.
I love that so much. It reminds me of when my oldest was little and how many times we were on the floor with cars. It's true. Let's go back to that for one second because I think so many of us, when we purchase a home or we rent a home, we see what the realtor had it staged as, and that sometimes plays into our mind with how we think we need to design our space. Well, because it was used this way, we need to have that be the dining room. Well, there's no rules, right? Inside of your own
No
home,
rules.
there are no rules.
You move into a new space. You look at how am I going to live in this space?
Yeah.
That's it. That's how they want to live right now. I mean, later it might move downstairs. And then it's time for a dining room when there's four or five kids and you need a table and you need that, whatever. When my boyfriend and I moved into this space, he's been working out of state. We had another place out of state. We've been here, we've been there, we've been all over the place. And then we landed here, I'm like, and everything was different. Everybody was different. Every place was different. But this one, I'm like, wait, how are we going to live in here? And he wanted this ginormous television in the social area. And I was like, no. I said, that's going to go in the other room. We have two rooms. He's like, no, it won't. It won't. And I'm like, yes, that's going to go in there. And the small sofa is going to go in there, and it's also going to serve as my office. He's like, I it's the favorite room of everybody who walks in this house. We had six people in there the other day. We were in a small space. Everybody was sitting on the floor, sitting on the sofa, sitting on a little bench chair, all watching this ginormous television. It's the coziest space in the house.
Because a big TV in a small space makes it feel cozy, right?
It's like a den.
Yeah, exactly. And on that point, if you put a big TV in the middle of the living room, I mean, you are now kind of beholden to this TV and you have to design around the silly thing.
Yeah, and it's an eyesore. Well, they do make them nice now. You can put the frames around them and all. But honestly, what we did in the space that's right off the kitchen in the apartment layout scenario, and it's a different kind of layout, we're making it a lounge.
Oh, that's fun. Okay, I know what's inside my head when you're saying lounge. I'm picturing velvet, brass.
Yes.
Okay, tell me more. I love it.
So we have this little love seat, and I just found it at World Market over the weekend. Honestly, it's still coming together. And I found a chair. I had another swivel chair, which is great. And the swivel can see the city and then the view. But we have a fixture that we changed out of the space that we didn't like. That I had a new fixture and we hung that low. It's brass. And there's dark green. There's like a mustard yellow. The love seat's like a rusty color, and we have a hide on the floor, a cowhide that I'm not a huge fan of, but we decided since he gave his life, we gave him a name. So Howard's on the floor. And just, it's going to be like the coolest place where you just listen to music, talk in the kitchen, I'm cooking, whatever. And if the guys want to go watch football or if we want to watch a movie at night, that's where we go.
I love this so much. Oh, jealous.
So
Now,
good.
my listeners can't see obviously where we are, but right behind you is the landscape of Nashville. So I'm picturing this little lounge space so perfectly in your spot. I love it. I love it. Okay. Is there when you're listening to music, because I'm picturing now that you say that, an old turntable. Are you
Yes,
picturing
there's a
a
turntable. And we're working towards our album collection. It's going to be
Oh.
so swanky.
I love it. I love it. You're going to have to make sure you send me pictures of that because,
I will. When it's finished, I would finish. I
yeah.
will for sure.
Oh, fantastic. Well, Kimberly, are there any other last little tips you would love to share with these mamas who now are probably loving your space as much as I am?
I really think that it's important to take stock in what's important to you and to your family with this whole concept in mind. And it's not easy, and it's not easy work. It's mental, it's in the head. And I know life gets crazy and it gets busy, but if you start to incorporate those little steps, like just do it now, you know? Like I make the bed every morning. That's a whole nother thing. It makes me feel accomplished. And my bed looks pretty, and I don't have to worry about it anymore. And it's actually really cozy to crawl into. Mine's pretty extravagant. You know, I like it that way. It doesn't have to be. It could just be the fact that you throw on a comforter and some pillows because that's what your lifestyle is about, right? It's really quick. That's a conscious decision. You're making a decision. And it seems crazy to break it down that small, but it really is. Because if you throw that comforter up and you throw your pillow, your shams on it, and you're done. Throw a blanket, you're done. That's good for you.
And just in the opposite, that's a conscious decision too, to walk away from it. That is a conscious
Right.
decision. And think about the start of your day with this example. If you start your day by consciously deciding, I'm going to leave this ready, set, go for when I come back in the end of the day. When I walk in at the end of the day, I'm going to see that this was made and it feels
Yeah, you just feel bad. I feel worse if I don't do it now.
right.
But so just the simplest thing, and it's the way that I think now, so it's hard to explain. But I think that once you start to incorporate it into your world, whatever that is, making sure that the kitchen stays organized for the next 30 days, or gets organized and stays organized for the next 90 days, or through the summer, or whatever goal it is, again, take it pocket by pocket and
Yeah.
just start to incorporate that into the way that you think and the way that you do things. I think that really helps move the whole, like, I'm going to change the way I'm living in this space scenario, if that
Right.
makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. It's like running a marathon. I mean, if that's your end goal, you're not going to go out and run 26 miles tomorrow. You're going to maybe start
Right.
by getting off the couch today and
Right.
walk and then buying the shirt and then and it's all building up to that thing that you really want at the end. And if that is
Which
the
could be
organizing.
really exciting, right? Like that's like the it's what do they say? It's not the thing, it's the journey. It's
Right.
not the destination, it's the journey. And so
Right.
this is all journey, and you have so much opportunity to teach your family, to teach your kids, to teach yourself about how it feels better to just do that.
Right. Absolutely. Oh, it has been such a joy to talk to you today. And
And you too.
tell everyone before we say goodbye, tell everyone where
Yes.
they can hang out with you.
Well, mostly on Instagram, which it's under Armstrong Design Collective,
Okay.
Armstrong Design Collective on Instagram. That is also our website and Facebook page.
Okay. Yay. Well, I'm going to have all my mamas go check you out so that they can be inspired and encouraged to create a home that is organized and efficient and serves them. Oh, Kimberly, I want to have you back on the show another time so we can chat a little bit more.
Would love to.
All right. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks so much.
Hey, real quick before you go, if you learned something new or found value in today's podcast, would you head over to iTunes to Fig and Farm at Home and leave a review and subscribe to the show? That would be awesome. And if you'd like to connect with my community of mamas who are learning to be intentional storytellers within their own homes, join us at bit.ly/design101group. There's always more room at the table. See you soon.